verse 16 through to 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So gentleness, I know faithfulness comes first in the list, but I'm intentionally doing gentleness first. What is gentleness? Meek, humble, even-tempered, unpretentious. Someone said gentleness is strength under control. A gentle person knows when to correct and when to remain quiet. They are secure and don't need to justify themselves or be defensive. There is strength in being tender. A gentle person will be approachable, kind and humble. Perhaps, obviously, aggression is not gentle. Passivity is not gentleness. Assertiveness can be gentle. We're called to be bold. God puts in us a spirit of boldness. We can be bold, defy the enemy, and stand firm, and still be gentle. Jesus was gentle. Jesus is gentle. Jesus has always been gentle. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is gentle. Let's choose to be like him. And we, as children of God, are called to be gentle. But still, we carry the authority, that delegated authority, as sons of God, as children of God, as heirs with Christ. We have the same authority to speak into this world, into lives. But we do it with gentleness, because we can do that as we are secure in him. Faithfulness. I think sometimes we separate faith and faithfulness, don't we? But I don't think they're meant to be separated. Faithfulness, full of faith. Some words I found: trustworthiness, steadfastness of character, dependable. Wayne Grudem says, "God's faithfulness means that God will always do what he has said and fulfill what he has promised. He can be relied upon." Thank you, Father. The essence of true faith is taking God at his word and relying on him to do as he has promised. And if we want to be faithful, and indeed if we want to be gentle and exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, we need to be full of faith. Certainly I do. Because what I've noticed, what I've observed, that when I try and do things in my own strength, yeah, I can do it for a little while, but I fail. It doesn't work. But with Jesus, we are equipped to live lives exhibiting the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because his Spirit is in us. It's interesting too. I looked at the spiritual gifts as opposed to just the spiritual fruits. And actually faithfulness is the only one that comes in the spiritual gifts, by name anyway. 1 Corinthians 12. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. So if we feel we're lacking in faith, we can ask God for faith. He gives faith freely. Hebrews talks about faith. Hebrews 11, classic scripture passage where lots of people are commended for their faith. And I won't read all of them out. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I thank Jesus for the faith that he's put in me. I thank Jesus that I can stand here with an absolute assurance that I'm a child of God. I thank Jesus that I can stand here with total and utter conviction that I'm forgiven. I thank Jesus that I can stand here knowing without any shadow of doubt that God is preparing a place for me in heaven and that I will spend eternity with him. And my hope and prayer is that you too have the same assurance, the same conviction, the same belief. And if you don't, please don't leave here this morning without receiving that. Because Jesus died for you. And Jesus is calling you. Whether you have been a Christian like me for 50 plus years, whether you're a new Christian, or whether you've never yet given your life to Jesus, or whether you're someone who has been a Christian but has not been following Jesus, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you today. He's calling you now. But he calls you permanently. His call never ceases. And he calls you by name. He calls you individually. Jesus is calling you. He's calling you deeper into relationship with him. He's calling you. He wants relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you. And that call is real. Respond to his call. It's a precious, precious, precious thing to go through life with absolute assurance that Jesus is mine. It's a precious thing to know that I have a place being prepared for me in glory. It's a precious thing to know that nothing else matters, that Jesus. What other people think of me does not matter. It's what my Jesus thinks of me that matters. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Mary and Martha. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who had sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled by many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Which of the two ladies was faithful? Sometimes we talk about those in church, the faithful ones, who are always there, always serving. And let me encourage those of you who serve, and those of you who don't serve, serving is good. But who was the faithful one here? It was the lady who sat at Jesus' feet listening to him. She was being, not doing. She was with Jesus, listening to Jesus, not being distracted by all the things that needed doing. And if you're anything like me, you'll be distracted on a frequent basis. Life throws at us all sorts of things, doesn't it, that we think we need to put our energy and our attention into. And oh, how quickly we get our attention gets diverted from Jesus to what's before us. But let us be faithful ones. Let us be faithful to Jesus. Let us get to that place increasingly where we're not so distracted by the things of earth, that our minds are on Jesus and with Jesus all the time. That's my desire. That's my aim. That doesn't mean we never attend to the things on earth, but we attend to the things on earth with our focus on Jesus. And so often, my focus becomes on the things on earth rather than on Jesus. But we need our focus to be on Jesus. And that's how we're faithful. Look into Jesus. Look into Jesus all the time, permanently. And when we realize that we've slipped up and now we've gone astray, our mind has been distracted, we turn quickly back to Jesus. Quickly back to Jesus. And I think faithfulness must have been important to Jesus. There were many times that he said to his disciples or said to other people around, "O ye of little faith." Faithfulness was important to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't harsh when he said, "O faithless and twisted generation," was he? Remember, Jesus is gentle. So he spoke those words in gentleness and humility. But at the same time, he spoke the truth into that situation, into that people group. And it perhaps would help us to understand too. When I was in Israel last autumn, one of the first things the guide said to us when we got on the coach was, "Israelis are not rude, they're direct." Yeah? Jesus was in the Israeli culture. He spoke direct into people's lives. In our British culture, that might come across rude. But sometimes it would be well to be direct ourselves. But in gentleness and humility. So how do we respond to God? How do we respond to him? So that we can live with more gentleness and more faithfulness in our lives. But all the fruits of the Spirit too. I think there's only one way. There's only one way. And that is to surrender all to Jesus. And as we live our lives surrendered to him, And it's an ongoing surrender. It's not a one-off surrender when we choose to become Christians for the first time, or whether we come back to him. It's not just a surrender as we stand and sing on a Sunday morning, or we have our quiet times and our daily devotions. It's a life of constant surrender to Jesus. And as we surrender to Jesus and we give him all, we are then filled with his Spirit. Yeah, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with God's Spirit. God gives us his Spirit to live in us. We are to be temples of the Holy Spirit. God equips us with his Spirit to live in us. The way to receive his Spirit is to surrender all to him. Shall we do that now? Let's surrender to Jesus. Will you stand with me?